The chosen ones underwent a lot of suffering early on in their lives, a lot of childhood trauma, a lot of religious trauma. The chosen ones are those that came up through a lineage and a bloodline that I would like to say had a lot of karmic debts, a lot of generational curses. They often rebelled against what they were taught coming up. They rebelled against societal norm because they knew down on the inside that something wasn't quite right. They're the truth tellers of their family. Often chosen ones suffer with addictions, alcoholism, because they're just looking for an escape, a way out from the pain, from the things that they endured along the way. Chosen ones often move away from their family in which they came up in and through to another state to never deal with them ever again. They just want out of the whole situation. If you ask a chosen one today about their childhood upbringing, it would seem strange. How did someone go through all of that? How were there several children in the same household and each child experienced something different? They were not chosen. Chosen ones will not tell you that they are chosen. They don't go around boasting, "I'm chosen, I'm chosen, I'm chosen." But they do know that they're chosen. They do know that they're the ones that's carrying the generational wealth, the generational blessings on their back for that family and that bloodline. They do know that they're here to raise awareness and consciousness to God's people. They do know that they're here on this earth to help God reclaim Israel. The chosen ones are often alone. People think that they isolate a lot, and they do. And they're never alone. You may not see them with anyone, but God walks with them. He lives within them. He covers them. They are being divinely guided. They are divinely protected. They are anointed for this mission. And what's so ironic and funny to me is that God knew that he could trust the chosen ones with pain. He knew that he could put this purpose and this anointing and this plan down on the inside of the chosen one, and they were just the right one to see it to fruition. And I know that you get tired. I know that you get weary. I know that you weep a lot. You grieve a lot. I know. But I'm here to tell you right here, right now, in this season, God has turned things around for you. God has shifted the earth. The karmic debts are paid. The cycles are closing. You made it. You made it to the other side. The chosen ones are what I would like to call popular loners. They know a lot of people, but people don't ever get too close to them. And that's just due to the things that they came up through and the things that they experienced on this journey. They don't really are not too big or too open to people. But if you see them out there somewhere full of joy, dancing and laughing and life of the party, and then you look around and they've already gone. They don't like to get overly stimulated. One of the religious traumas that I had to undo, had to face, had to heal that wound as far as my belief system, as far as how I looked at and viewed God or higher power, what I say God, was Jehovah's Witness. These were a group of people that were thrust upon me. I was raised by my mother's mother, and my mother's mother and that whole side of the family were Jehovah's Witnesses. This group of people believed that they were God's chosen group of people. To me, they were actually playing the role of God, if you will. So if you did something within this congregation that they deemed to be unfit to continue on in the congregation, they would do what they called a disfellowship. A disfellowship, basically, I'm just going to call it like that. It's just basically an outcast, right? You're no longer allowed to deal with certain members of the congregation. You couldn't deal with them. Certain members couldn't deal with you. You went before a group, a panel of brothers, and they were to have, I guess, a meeting, if you like to call it that, or discussion when they saw fit that you could be coming back aboard and become a member again. That right there is what I had a problem with from the gate. That never resonated with my spirit, because I know God to be a loving God, for one. a forgiving God for two, and three, I can always go to Him. And from my experience and what I've learned and what was placed down on inside of me is that God always wanted to hear from me, right? God always wanted me to know that I had a safe space where I could call on Him. So for you to disfellowship someone is to reject them, is to cast them out. That's the opposite of what God does. So I had to heal that whole wound with that, because then I started to build myself up this image that God hated me. Because who would do something to someone like that? Who needs help? We all need help. We all are going to make mistakes. Each day is a new day that we have to work on our imperfections. No one's perfect. I give myself grace because I know that I'm going to make new mistakes today. You know, hopefully I don't make the same ones I made yesterday. You know, hopefully I learn from those. So, and God knows that about me, right? So that's why I had a whole issue within itself as far as the religious belief that I was taught coming up as a little girl. So yes, I would have knocked on the doors and I went and handed out the brochures and I went to the assemblies because I was a child and I had to go to do those things, right? I had to go do those things. I couldn't rebel against you telling me to get dressed and we're going to the Kingdom Hall at this time, or we're going out into service at this time, which is knocking on people's doors and giving people brochures. Like, you cannot say that, this is my whole thing in religion. You cannot say that, hey, we're God's people with all these people in the world, and that God, who could take form in any image, he manifested himself in each individual in different ways, that I have to believe this one way about the Creator, the one that's all loving, the one that's all knowing, that He's casting me away when I'm crying out for help. So that was one issue that I had. And how dare you speak this, you know, in my family, in my household? How dare you speak this, right? So chosen ones are often the black sheep of the family. They're the truth tellers. They're the truth seekers. They are the ones who are willing to go down the rabbit hole of the family generation, look at the patterns, face the fears, you know, question things. Those are God's chosen ones. They don't just conform to what was taught, what was passed down from mama and them and grandmama and them and great grandmama and them. No, 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 no. Those teachings are outdated. They didn't work then and they don't work today. So, I don't try to like defend my position in this world, on this earth, my mission. I don't share with people so freely about my purpose and the plan and the calling that God has placed on my life. Because one thing about a chosen one, there's no need to do that. The anointing speaks for itself, right? The light speaks for itself. Also, there was a lot of childhood emotional trauma coming up, right? Chosen ones are often the ones that are overlooked, severely judged, emotionally abused, cast out. A lot of the trauma that the authority figure was dealing with, a lot of the anger, a lot of the frustration was projected out on the chosen one. I want to believe that they knew that the individual was chosen. And I want to believe, and I do believe, that just like the chosen one has a mission and a purpose and a plan over their life, also the abuser has a mission and a plan and a purpose over their life. And their role is to be the abuser, right? I always align that with the story of Judas and Jesus, right? We talk a lot about, like it was so much done to Jesus, like it was the worst of the worst, you know, and it was, because I couldn't imagine crucifixion. But what I'm saying is, Judas was good for his role in playing Judas. That was his role, to betray Jesus. That was it. And he played that role as he should have played it, because in him betraying Jesus, Jesus was able to go to the cross. So I think Judas was the perfect person for that role. I don't see anything wrong with what he did. That's what he had to do in order for Christ to lay down his life. Chosen ones do not have much of a conversation for you unless it's in fact or truth. They live in solutions. So sometimes the chosen one may come off as nonchalant or arrogant, and it's neither of the two. It's just that they want to have a conversation of substance, a conversation about factual events that did actually happen. Not nothing you're thinking in your head that's going to happen, not nothing that you thought that did happen. What actually took place? They're the truth tellers. And a lot of people love the chosen ones. It's like a love-hate relationship. They love the chosen ones, and then I'm not so, because they are going to give you the truth. They're going to give you directly the way they see it, and they only see the truth. And I heard a guy say one day, like, once you put those rose-colored glasses on, you would never see the world the same, right? The chosen ones do not see the world as everyone else sees the world. They just don't. They have this connection to the spiritual realm that allows them to rise above the earthly desires and the fleshly desires and what goes on in the world. Not that they don't get tempted, because we all do. We all get tempted. We're all human. But what I'm saying is, they don't conform to the world and what's going on in the world or society's norm. They rebel against what they was taught. They rebel against what society throws in the media and says what's going on. Just have a talk with one of the chosen ones and see what their conversation is about. See what their viewpoint is on things. A lot of times they don't even have conversation about what's going on in the world, what the media is pushing out before us, trying to get our attention focused on that. Actually, this is a distraction from what is actually really going on. It's like a smokescreen. And not everyone is chosen. Not everyone is a chosen one. I see that a lot. Oh, I'm chosen. Chosen ones do not tell you that they're chosen ones. They do not go around, hey, I'm chosen. Because the weight of the suffering and the burden has been so much to bear. A lot of times they just want out. Okay, God, when is my purpose going to be up? When have I completed the mission? Like, you can call me at any time, God. It's my time up here. They don't get the luxury of a lot that a lot of people do get on this journey, as far as we all are subject to suffering. We're all subjected to pain, but the chosen ones get it like times 10, times 20. And when you sit down and listen to their life's journey and their life story, it'll sound like something off the movie screen. It wouldn't even sound like something that you could fathom, because majority of the people, that's why the chosen ones are the chosen ones, and everybody couldn't carry out the mission of a chosen one. Everybody has not been equipped with what they need to sustain themselves while they're on this journey with the suffering, with the rejection, with the isolation, with the hermit mode, with the degradation, with the being overlooked, outcast. A lot of people can't take that. Some people do not know their own identity outside of a social group that they're connected to, outside the family dynamic that they're attached to, which they know is full of trauma. They know it's toxic. They talk about it all the time, but they can't seem to break away. A chosen one could care less, because they know who they are and whose they are. So their identity is not based on where they came from. I never fit in there from the beginning. And I know that that's just the family that God chose to send my soul and my spirit up through, right? Because we all know that this is a nerf suit. My soul and my spirit up through so that I can complete the mission, so I can fulfill the promise, so I can heal the generational curses, the generational trauma, and bring forth generational wealth, the generational blessings. We have our days. We have our days. We have our moments. I know, and the chosen ones, like, they're so strong. People see them and be like, oh my God, they're so strong. You went through this, you went through that. You have no choice. You have no choice. I give myself 2 days to cry about something. 2 days and I'm done. Because I had to learn this now. Because early on, I would cry and cry and cry. Like, it'd be like never ending. So I told myself, put a timer on that. Put a timer on that. Give yourself 2 days. After that, you're done. And just close the door on that. Let God handle that, right? Of course it hurts. Yes. Pain hurts. Grief is real. You will have to grieve people that are still here and alive on this journey. And that's okay, right? That's okay. We have zero tolerance for BS. We have zero tolerance for weirdness. We have zero tolerance for fuckery. We don't have tolerance for that. I don't. I don't have the patience. I lack the bandwidth to deal with things like that. Right now where I am in this journey, and I'm sorry. Not sorry. Once I learned that I had a mission and a purpose and a plan and a calling on my life, it made me feel better about the things that I had endured, and it made a lot of things make sense to me. But going through those dark days, going through those times of turmoil, of trouble, I didn't see that, right? I was like, oh my God, where is God at now? God, the building is on fire. I need you now. And it's like God was saying, not yet, but I'm right here. Not yet, my child, but I'm right here in the fire with you. And in that, that gave me so much peace, so much comfort, so much enlightenment, that I was never a promise of a painless life, but I was a promise of a pain-filled life. And a lot of us, you know, we shy away from pain. Any form of pain that would come along early on, and this is how I became addicted. When pain got so great, I started putting substance on top of it to mask that pain, to suppress it, too ashamed to talk about the things that I have seen, the things that I have heard, the things that were done to me, the things that I had done. I couldn't put a language on that. It's too embarrassing. Yet, who would believe that I endured this? And I'm still here today, looking at you guys, laughing, smiling, dancing. And when you see a lot of the chosen ones and they tell you their age that they are, they don't ever look the age they are. It's like God put a preservant down on the inside that preserves their youth. When I tell people that I'm a recovering heroin addict, IV user, I have overcame homelessness. I have been raped. I have been beaten. I have been left for dead. Like, and people see me, they find it hard to believe. Like, people will not believe that until you tell them. It's something about the grace that God puts on our lives that people don't see that. They see the joy. They see the peace. They see the tenacity, the resilience. And oftentimes people see that and they don't, oh, she's strong, she has it, X, Y, and Z. No, she has it because she has no choice but to have it. And she know that God is taking care of her. She know that whatever it is, it's not going to be too big for God. And when she takes a look back over all the hills and leaps and hurdles and bounds that she's made, that I can do this too. Oh, I did that? I recovered from that. I overcame homelessness, sleeping on the porch, pregnant, no food, nowhere to go, nowhere to shower. I for surely can overcome this. I went from shooting dope, prostitution. I can for surely overcome this. Because the same God that was with me in the pits of hell, I call it the pits of hell. With the same God that was with me then, when I was in the lion's den, it's the same God that is with me now. Yes, he is. He's with me now, and he knew that he could trust me with trouble. So, I say if you're chosen, be honored. Be honored you got skin in the game. Not everybody can do what you are called, not only called, but chosen to do. Huh? It's different when you being called and being chosen are two different things. Do not get it twisted. When you're chosen, you're going to do this. This is like Jonah. When Jonah was chosen to go to Nineveh, and he didn't go to Nineveh, and God swallowed him up in the belly of that whale for 3 days, you were chosen to do that, Jonah, and you're going to do it. Are you going to do it? You're going to do it kicking and scratching and fighting and hooping and hollering. You're going to do it. Don't even worry about it. God chose you to do it. And who are you to go up against God? And you can say all the time, God, I have enough. I do this all the time. Oh my God, it's too much. God, get these people. I don't want to deal with them. These are your people. I do this often. Huh? but I'm still going to see the mission through. At the end of the day, God is just listening to me like, mm-hmm. And when she gets done, she's still finna see this through. That's chosen. You don't have a choice in the matter. You were chosen. You were handpicked. You were plucked out of the flock. You were set apart. You were anointed for this. I'm laughing now because I have clarity. I have understanding about my journey and who I am. Back then, it wasn't so funny. Back then, nothing was funny about it. I often had suicidal ideations, praying that God just end it all. It's too much for me, God. Take it now. And God said, I'm right with you. I'm right here with you. It seems like it's too much. Look, who wants to go through traumatic experience after traumatic experience? Who wants to go through that? Who wants to go through childhood trauma, then active addiction, losing your children, getting clean, fighting the courts, not getting them back? You got to grieve that. That's a loss. You got to grieve that. You have to learn to live in your new reality without the kids, without the family, because somehow we're resenting them. We are resenting them for playing the role that God chose them to play. Until you get understanding about it, that they were just being who God chose them to be. They had to be that way. This as well as you had to be chosen to be the light worker. Yeah.